a closer walk with Thee. Dear Lord, let it be. That should be all of our want-tos, is to walk closer with the Lord every single day. Well, today we're going to be back in John chapter 3. And last week we kind of finished up verse 18 of chapter 3. So today we're going to start back in verse 19 of chapter 3. Remember, we've seen the fact that Nicodemus comes. He's a religious man, but even though he's the teacher of Israel, he knows 505 books of the Bible, has them memorized. He still doesn't know Jesus as his Lord and Savior because he just has head knowledge. Somebody says there's 6 inches of difference between the head and the heart. Some people know what they believe, but they've never come to the place in their life where they ask God to forgive them and ask God to save them. So just knowing who Jesus is and knowing what the plan of salvation is one thing, but you have to know the man of salvation, because just knowing it up here doesn't get you into heaven. But if there's ever come a place where you said, God forgive me, God save me, and asked Him to come into your life and change you, because there's nothing you can do to get to heaven and there's nothing we can do to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it. And so that's the deal. But Nicodemus didn't understand that. And so Jesus answers the question that's really on his mind, and he says that you must be born again. And Nicodemus doesn't understand that. Nicodemus doesn't understand that you can't get there by just keeping the commandments. That you have to be born again. That you have to ask God to forgive you and have to ask God to save you. And so he goes on to tell him about how he's witnessed. That Nicodemus says, we represent the Pharisees and we know that you're from God. And Jesus says, well, we testify what we know and what we've seen, and we testify about heavenly things and earthly things, but if you don't even believe the earthly things about how to be born again, then how can I tell you about the true riches of heaven? And then he goes on to tell him how the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, and so Jesus had to be put up on that cross and had to die for our sins and had to die in our place that we might go to heaven. And then he says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And he goes on to tell us how God didn't send His Son to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And if we believe in Him, then we're saved. But if we don't believe, we're condemned already. And then as we get to verse 19, he says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus that this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, if we were to look over in Romans chapter 1, it tells us over in about verse 18 that God has made Himself evident to everybody. He says, since the beginning of the world, that God has revealed Himself through His conscience and through creation. And He tells us that man knows that there's a God. I mean, we don't hear people, when they use curse words, we don't hear them say something Buddha, do we? We don't hear them say something Muhammad or somebody, whoever might be other gods, but we always hear them curse God or we hear them curse Jesus' name, right? And we don't hear Him curse Muhammad. We don't hear Him curse Buddha. But we know that there's a God. And every single one of us knows there's a God. If we were to go out in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa or Papua New Guinea or wherever we went, we would find people worshiping something. I remember an old movie called Joe Volcano, Joe and the Volcano. And they wanted to sacrifice this guy to appease the gods. And everywhere we go, people are worshiping a piece of metal, a stick, a little idol. They're worshiping the animals. They're worshiping the star, the sun, the moon. But the Bible says that men worship the creature rather than the Creator. That we're worshiping the animals and the plants and the things that God made instead of the Creator who made them all. And He says, although they knew God, they were not thankful, nor did they glorify God. And they worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. And it says, because of that, that they're headed the wrong way. And so the Bible tells us the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? And that, you know, the way of a man is evil continuously, that our mouth is full of poison, and the poison of asp is under our tongue. And, you know, we think of ourselves as pretty good people sometimes. I know I used to think I was a pretty good person until I realized that Jesus, you know, died in my place and died for my sins. And when I trusted Christ, I realized that I wasn't a very good person. Yes, I had been brought up morally in a lot of ways and had a lot of good moral, you know, things in my life, you know. There's certain things you do, certain things you don't do. But then I had been taught to do a lot of things that my parents did that weren't right either. And they'd probably been taught by their parents and their parents. And so no matter where you go, you might go out in the deepest, darkest jungles, and everywhere you go, you're going to find a set of rules and a set of regulations. Just like, you know, we've always had the Ten Commandments here in the United States up until recently, posted in the schools and posted on the walls. But since 1960-something, they've removed all that, right? One man said they took the Ten Commandments off the walls, and now they got to put policemen in the halls. I mean, that's what's happened. Since 1960-something, since they've, you know, changed a lot of these rules and allowed abortion and, you know, took the Ten Commandments out, took prayer out of the schools, since that time, the crime rate has just gone up exponentially. But you know, as John is sitting, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus here, He says the condemnation is that light has come into the world. The light has come into the world. Now what is He talking about? If we went back to chapter 1 and we looked in verse 4 and 5, it says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or it could not overcome it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7, this man came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, verse 9, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And we talked about that, how because of creation and because of conscience that we know there's a God. And when John talks about light, he's talking about holiness and purity and righteousness. And when he talks about darkness, he talks about evilness and sin and impurity. You ever wonder why most people, when they steal and when they lie and when they do all these things, or if you go into these restaurants where people are doing stuff they ought not to be, or you go into the bars, they're what? Pretty dark, aren't they? You know why? Because people do their deeds at night, right, that are evil. I mean, you know, people are getting to the place where some people are brave and they break in houses during the daytime and they do this and do that. But most people do most of their evil at night because what? They don't want to be seen, right? And that's what John is saying, that you know, that the truth, that the purity, that the holiness of God through Jesus Christ has come into the world. And men loved evil and impurity and sin rather than the truth and righteousness and holiness. Because the deeds that a heart is deceitfully wicked. And people choose wrong things because that's what we want to do. And that's what he says here, because their deeds were evil. You know, most people believe in Jesus. Did you know that? If we talk to 90% of Americans today, 90% of them would say they believe in Jesus and they believe in God. But you know what? 90% of the people are not going to heaven. The Bible says, narrow is the way, and straight is the way, and few there be that find it, right? So what do we call it? We call somebody a straight arrow. If they're, you know, trying to do what's right, what do we call people that steal and do wrong all the time? We used to call them crooks, right? Because they're crooked. You're crooked. And so he says, straight is the way, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But he says that most people, they won't come to God because, guess what? They like what they're doing. And they don't want somebody to tell them what they do. Does anybody in here really like people that somebody to tell you what to do? I know I don't. I mean, none of us really do we? And the bottom line is when you come to God, He becomes the Lord of your life, the boss of your life. And when He becomes the boss of your life, guess what? That means He gets to tell us what to do, doesn't He? And so He says here in verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light, hates purity, hates righteousness, and hates good deeds. But he says, and he does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. And so the problem is today is that people that are doing wrong, they don't come out in the daytime. They work, they do their deeds all night long, and then they sleep all day long, don't they? They do all their evil at night, and they don't come to the light. They don't come out in the daytime light a whole lot, but they also don't come to the light, the truth, the holiness, the righteousness of God, lest their deeds should be exposed. People want to live the way they want to live and do the things they want to do, and they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. I know that's the way I used to be. And I'm sure probably some of y'all were like that too. Hopefully most of y'all got saved when y'all were real young. I wasn't one of those. I didn't get saved till I was a little bit older, close to 30. And I did a lot of wrong things before I got saved and trusted Christ. But you know, I was one of those that didn't want to come to the Lord. I thought I was a pretty good person. But then I found out I was a pretty bad person after I came to the Lord. And so he says, we don't want the light to shine and see that we're doing wrong. But he says, but verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. See, when you're living right, when you're living in such a way that you're living for God and you've been saved, you don't care if people know about your life. You don't care about people seeing what you're doing. You don't care about them seeing some of the things that you do, because guess what? You're doing good things and right things and holy things and pure things, right? Most of the time anyway. None of us are perfect. But, you know, the Bible talks about hypocrites and people being sincere, right? And that word, sincere, it meant to be without wax. Because they would put wax in a hole in a piece of pottery. Because the pottery, they put a lot of work in that pottery. And then that thing would crack during that last bit of the heating process. And when it cracked, guess what? They used pottery not like we do today just to sit on the shelf and look pretty, but they used it for cooking and for, you know, holding their milk and their food and stuff like that. And if it was cracked, guess what? You would lose some of your food and lose some of your milk and some of your stuff that was valuable. and it wasn't any good to you. And so people would have to hold the thing up to the light and make sure they couldn't see all the way through it, because there was a little bit of wax in there, and it meant without wax. And they would hold it up to the sun and look on the inside, make sure there wasn't a crack. And guess what? God wants us to hold our life up to the light and make sure there aren't any cracks and defects and things in our life. Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we're not totally, you know, perfect here in this life. But guess what? If we're living for God, in most cases, we don't mind people looking at what we do and how we live. And, you know, it's been said about Christians that we should be the kind of person that when you, then they look at us, that you can say, what you see is what you get. Remember when we went back in chapter 1 about Nathanael? And Jesus said in verse 47 of chapter 1, He saw Nathanael coming towards Him and said, Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And that's what God says about us. That if we're saved, we're not going to be deceitful. We're not going to be hypocritical. But we don't mind people looking into our lives and seeing who we really are, because we don't really have anything to hide, because we're living for God. But if we have things in our life and we're not living for God, guess what? We don't come to the light because our deeds are evil, and we don't want people to see who we really are. One man said, if you're going to be a liar, you better have a pretty good memory, because you got to remember everything that you told everybody, so the next time when you tell them something, you can tell them the same story. But that's about impossible, isn't it? And so if we're telling the truth and living the truth all the time, guess what? We don't have to remember all that stuff. And so I'm going to stop there this morning, because, you know, really the bottom line is, folks, is without Jesus Christ, we're headed for hell. And unless He's the Lord of our life, and He brings His Word to bear on our life. I was reading this morning in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and it says, The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides into the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. In other words, when we read the Word of God, it cuts like a knife. It slices in and says, look, that thing you're doing, that's wrong. You need to do something different. It knows what we're thinking, because the Holy Spirit speaks through its Word. And you know, unless you know you got a cut and you're hurt, your body doesn't know what to fix, does it? Yesterday I hit some little old something on the inside of a cardboard tube that my wife got some of the stuff for her work. I mean, it's a little old tiny spot. I mean, and that thing still hurts like the dickens this morning. I mean, it's been a whole day and a day and something, and it's still hurting. But you know what? My body knows that there's something wrong right here on this finger. And because it knows there's something wrong, you know what it can do? It can send all the proper blood and all the little healing things that my body does, and it can heal this cut. Because I heard about a little boy that he didn't have any feelings, and when he got hurt, he didn't know it because there wasn't any feeling. And you know what? It would take him months, and it would take him weeks to heal up, or a few months to heal up something like that, because guess what? His body didn't know there was a problem. When he broke an arm, it would literally take months and months and months to heal it, because his body didn't know there was a problem. But you know what? The Word of God shows us we have a problem. And it's up to us to let the Word of God work in our life and heal us. But until we do that, we'll never be right. We'll never be healed. We'll never be fixed. So, you know, James says, he that looks into the Word of God and doesn't do anything about it, he's a hearer only. But we need to be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word, right? I know probably most of us this morning, we looked in the mirror to make sure everything was right and in the right spot and did all the doings, and we saw our hair was all crazy and we didn't just walk off from the mirror and say, oh, that's okay, I don't care what I look like this morning. But we fixed it, right? And the same thing goes for our lives. That if we know there's something wrong, we need to let God help us fix it. So let's close in prayer and then we'll sing one more song. Father, we love You and we thank You that You are the great physician. You are the great healer. Not only can You heal us physically, but You heal us spiritually, because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And sometimes it cuts us and hurts us a little bit, but we need to know that there's something wrong in our lives and so we can be healed. So Father, I pray that we would look into our lives and we would look into the mirror of the Word of God and see if there's anything wrong, and we would let You speak to our hearts and tell us where we need to change, where we need to do something different. And Lord, we don't want to be like those in John 3, verse 19 to 22, that loved darkness rather than light, because we want to hide and not let people know that we have anything wrong. We don't want to admit that we're doing wrong, and we don't want to especially admit that to You. But Lord, I pray if there's somebody who doesn't know You as Savior today, they would allow You to come into their life and expose those deeds and change them from the inside out, and that they wouldn't mind coming to the light then, because they are living for You. Father, we love You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty, well, let's sing Just As I Am.
I'm the child without remorse. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved to me.
I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out, go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.